Shalom, welcome to part 5 series on the subject of foundations. So now we're going to be looking at spiritual warfare. Why is it that God emphasizes the mind when it comes to spiritual warfare? Now, most of you, you pray. You fast, you do everything that needs to be done. But your thinking, the way you think, it's worrisome. The way I think contributes to the man that I become. The way I think contributes to my relationships. The way I think attracts it can either attract destiny helpers or foolish people. Apostle Joshua Selman, he said, if you are in a room and there are 5 foolish people, and if you don't count yourself, you are the biggest fool in the room. You are the 6th one, actually. So your mind, the information you have, is the one that opens doors for you. Is the one that opens doors for you. You have to think right. Now I'm going to look at different characters in the Word of God that God used, through their mind. Through their mind, their lives were changed. Nations were saved. So now, the environment that you grew up in, where you grew up in, let's say you grew up in an environment where people are not talking right, where people always stressed, those things have a tendency of following you. So your thinking pattern, it's according to the environment that you grew up in. Your thinking pattern, it's according to the environment that you grew up in. Your thinking pattern also, it's according to the school that you went to. A child that goes to a private school, they don't think the same way is a child that goes to a public school or a government school. I'm not trying to diss the government school or public schools, no. But I'm just trying to say that, you know, the thinking pattern there, it's not the same. A child who grew up in a castle, who grew up as a prince, does not think the same way as a child who grew up in a community. They don't think the same. Why? Your environment shapes how you think. It shapes how you think. It shapes who you are. It shapes who you are. Right now you might be thinking, you know, people don't like me. They don't understand me. No, it's not like, you know, people don't understand you. Your thinking irritates them. Your thinking. You are not thinking at the same level with them. If you go to a room where there are great men, don't be too quick to open your mouth. Listen. Study the room. Study how they are. Which language are they talking? Which language are they communicating? You must many a times God brings us before greatness, but we don't know how to talk when we are presented before such places. That's why it's important to invest in yourself, to think right. Now, some of you might be like, he's just talking. It's not scriptural. Right, let me show you how God uses the mind. The mind is actually quite powerful than you can ever think. So now, if you look at the creation, when God created heaven and earth, The first thing that God did was to plan things in his mind. Before anything existed, he spoke of it, then it existed. God said, let us make man in our own image. Let us. So the word let us shows us that, you know, before that thing manifested, God spoke of it. If you look at, you know, before the creation of man, if you read If you read chapter number 2 of the book of Genesis, no, chapter number 1, in chapter number 2 of the book of Genesis, chapter number 1, it tells you of how he says, let us make man in our own image. And the Bible says that he made both male and female. He made both male and female. So he first made them in the spiritual world. So the spiritual world, we can say, like, you know, it's a mind. It's a mind where God operates, where God plans everything, where God sets everything. It's only in chapter number 2 where we hear of Adam. You know, Adam was created, right? Then chapter number 2, that's when we hear the creation of a woman. And the Bible says that God saw that it was not okay for men to be alone. And he made Adam to sleep. And the next thing, the woman was there. And when Adam woke up, because God had, in the DNA of Adam, he understood that there's someone that I'm supposed to be with. When he saw Eve, he said, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. So your mind is powerful. It's a powerful tool, your mind. What your mind is not aware of, hey, ignorance kills. What your mind is not aware of. Most people are ignorant. Many people are ignorant. The confidence of an ignorant person is dangerous. The confidence of an ignorant person is dangerous. The reason why sometimes we have losses, the reason why sometimes we make bad decisions, it's because of our ignorance. We had limited information. So when you have limited information, you always make bad decisions. Good decisions are made when your mind has the right information, when it's in the right place, when it's in the right place. So now when God created everything, his mind, his consciousness, it had the world to be created. There's so much that had to be created. So now I want to show you, why is it that the devil attacks your mind? Have you ever wondered why the devil discourages you? When the devil discourages you, it's not like, you know, you only bring situations where someone talks bad about you and someone says, like, hey, you're like this, like that. No, the devil attacks your mind. He uses what someone said about you, and he makes you to meditate upon that day and night. Someone called you a fool, and you meditate upon that for the rest of the month. When you look at them, that's what you think. So now the enemy uses your identity against you. You know that you are not a fool. You know that that's not what you are. But you keep on meditating it. Ah, you know, I'm a fool. This is what I am. This is what I am. That's not who you are, child of God. That's not who you are. So now let's look into scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Chapter number 10 verses 3 to 6. It says that, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. There's one statement that many people love to say. They love to say, yeah, you know, like when things happen, yeah, you know, I'm a human being at the end of the day. Yes, you are human. But you don't deal with things according to the flesh. Then it says that, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. You see where your weapons are. They are mighty in God. Your mind has been substituted. They are mighty in God. Meaning to say that when you are in warfare, you are supposed to think like God. The strategy is supposed to come from the Lord. Philippians 2, it says that, let this mind, 2 verse 5, let this mind that was in Christ be in me also. Let it be in you also. So now for you to win battles of the mind, you need to set your mind unto the Lord. You need to think the way God thinks. But now, how do we think the way God thinks? It's through the word of God. God told Joshua, the battles that you're about to have, they are going to require you to be a great thinker. They are going to require you to be a great thinker. He tells him, meditate upon this word day and night. Day and night. Let this word not depart out of your mouth. Meditate upon it day and night. Now, some of us, the reason why we become victims of the devil, whereby the devil attacks our mind. You pray, but your mind is not focused on prayer. Your mind is thinking, it's all over. It's thinking a whole lot of things. The reason why your mind will be thinking a lot of things is because the devil knows how powerful your mind is. When a mind is focused, when my mind is focused on something that I want to do, a certain goal, I yield results. I yield expected results. But when my mind is not focused on what I want to achieve, it's going to be tough for me. It's going to be so tough to yield results. I won't be able to see the results. So now most of you have great ideas. You have powerful ideas. But you don't have focus. When your mind is not focused, don't expect results. It's like someone who's in love. You know, if you're in love with someone else, most of you definitely are in love. If you're in love with someone else, right? If you don't focus on that person, loving that person, don't expect you not to be able to become a power couple. How are you going to become a power couple when your focus is not there? So now, when we come into spiritual warfare, our mind must focus on Christ. God told Joshua, let this word not depart from your mouth. Meditate upon it day and night. Child of God, today I want to challenge you. Love the word of God. Meditate the word of God. There's a difference between claiming scriptures to know them for the mind and meditating the word of God. What transforms your mind? It's the word of God, but not just the logos. There are two types of word. We have the logos and the rhema word. So now the logos is the written word of God. The rhema word is the one that you receive after meditation. After meditation. The reason why some of you are in depression, the reason why some of you are always stressed, the reason why some of you, nothing works for you, it's like you have forces that are always fighting you. It's because your mind is all over. Your mind is all over. You have to subject your mind to the knowledge of God. Now, let's look at this scripture, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 6. So now it says that, you know, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments. You hear this part, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So what the devil fights in your mind is the knowledge of God. So now if you don't fight your mind to be subject, to submit to the knowledge of God, trust you me, the devil, your mind is a playground for the devil. Your mind will be the playground for the devil. So now, it's important to understand that when I'm discouraged, because discouragement brings negative thoughts into your mind. No, this person doesn't love me. They don't care about me. Do you know why most of our relationships don't end up okay? Most of our relationships don't have fruit. It's because of our thinking. When we look at the people that surround us, oh, we're thinking about, yeah, they don't like me. Yeah, they hate me so much. Oh, shame. Oh, shame. Like, you know, you look for things. You look for negative things. One man of God was preaching. He said, if you have nothing good to say about a person, keep quiet. Now, most times we focus on negative things. We look for faults. The enemy gives us things to look at. Trust you, me, child of God. If you want to find something wrong in a person, you will get it. So now the enemy sets your mind in such a way that what you'll be thinking about, you know, it's negative thoughts. That's what you'll be thinking about. You'll be thinking like, you know, yeah, this person is bad. This person doesn't like me. This person's like this, like that. You have to see people the way God sees them. So now, even when you are dealing with your personal life, let's say like you have not been working for quite some years now, the enemy programs your mind to such an extent that, you know, you will not even believe. You will be saying that, I want a breakthrough from the Lord, but you won't believe that a breakthrough is going to come. You won't believe it. A certain man met up with Jesus. He said to Jesus, Jesus, can you come to my house? I want you to pray for one of my workers. And Jesus said, okay, we are going together. And the man said to Jesus, Jesus said to him, says like, do you believe that your I think it was his daughter, that your daughter is going to be healed? Then he says like, yes, I believe. But he makes one shocking statement. He says that, help me of my unbelief. I believe that my child can be healed. But what I saw at home, I had sleepless nights over the past 2 weeks. She was vomiting. All sorts of things were happening around her. She was speaking all sorts of language that we don't understand. She was sweating all night. We didn't sleep. I believe that Jesus, you can heal my child, but I'm battling with unbelief. Now, most of you, it's not like, you know, you don't have faith, or you don't know that God is there, that he can change your story. Your mind knows it. Your mind knows it. But in your subconsciousness, you have fed your subconsciousness with this situation is impossible. God cannot do this. Let me rush to a doctor. I'm not saying doctors, we need doctors. I have friends who are doctors, wonderful people. What I'm trying to tell you, child of God, is that, you know, your mind, you must submit it. You must submit it under the Lord. You must submit it to the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is the one that channels your mind. It channels your mind to the Lord. The word of the Lord channels your mind to a place of encounter, whereby you encounter the Lord. Sometimes when you are seeking the Lord for a certain situation, God can take time to come through for you. Why? Because he wants to see how serious are you. He will make you to tarry. Jesus told his disciples, tarry you in Jerusalem. The Bible says that they prayed in one accord. Remember, these guys were not speaking in tongues. They were not Holy Ghost filled. They didn't have the Holy Ghost to intercede on their behalf. They had to hold on to the word. Jesus said, tarry you in Jerusalem for the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. They had to pray, holding on unto that promise, setting their mind on that. Bible says that they prayed in one accord. So for you to pray in one accord with the Spirit of God, you have to subject your mind to the word of God. So the devil fights every knowledge of God which is in the inside of you. He will make that prophetic word that you have received to look like as if God lied to you. Before you call any prophet or any man of God false, before you call them and say like they are liars, understand that the enemy fights the knowledge that you have. The moment you receive knowledge of your future or of what God wants to do in your life, that's where warfare began. Warfare begins because you now know something. It's the intelligence that you have that makes the enemy to fight you. It's the greatness that you know, that you are supposed to walk in, that you're supposed to attain, that makes the enemy to fight you. So what would the devil do? He will fight against the knowledge of God. He will fight against the knowledge of God. So you will try your level best with your mind. You try to put 1 + 1 = 2. You try to say like, yeah, you know, this thing maybe is not working because I'm not doing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Maybe I've sinned. Maybe, you know, God doesn't love me. No, you have to understand that the enemy is fighting the knowledge of God. So now you must mature enough spiritually and even physically. You must mature enough to understand that what's being fought, it's my assignment. What's being fought, it's who I'm supposed to become. It's who I am. It's who I am. So the devil fights who you are, because what you are, it's a threat to his kingdom. So any knowledge that makes you to become who you are, he fights it. He fights it so that you don't become that. Have you ever, you know, at one time I wanted to, there's some business that I wanted to engage in. I went to, you know, a friend. I'm not talking of a stranger, a friend. This friend of mine is so, you know, like so successful in this business. I went to him. Hey, I need to do this thing. Can you help me out? Ah, the man dished me. No, I cannot tell you. No, let's have a meeting. I think we had about 10 to 20 meetings that never amounted to something. Until I learned that, you know, this person doesn't want me to know what he knows. That made him to be successful. People are stingy with the information. Oh. So for you not to... People want to invest knowledge in someone that already knows something. They don't want to invest in someone that knows nothing. They want someone that has a little bit of knowledge. Then they help you to build from there. They help you to build from there. That's why it's important that, you know, you must have a library. Have a library. It's important. If there's one investment that you need to do, is to make an investment of buying books. Every month, there must be a book that you are reading, that talks to you, that ministers to you. What are you doing about your consciousness? Yes, God told you to say you are going to become a billionaire. He told you to say, you know, like you are a father of nations or a mother of nations. He told you to say, I've called you, you know, in my kingdom to support the kingdom. Financial. What are you doing with that information? You're supposed to upgrade yourself. So now you need to start to study. What is a father of nation according to scripture? You start to read books, John Maxwell books. You start to develop your leadership skills. You start to develop how you think, because the devil fights you left, right, center, because he's fighting the knowledge of God. So that smaller information that you know, that you're supposed to become great, he fights you. He fights that information. So now, how do I develop to become effective? How do I win the battle? It's through knowledge. So I start to develop myself. I start to upgrade myself. So now this scripture says that bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Next scripture that we're going to read. Let's read 2 Timothy 1 verses 3. It says that, I thank God whom I serve with all pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift which is in you through the laying on of hands, for God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So this was Paul talking to his spiritual son, Timothy. He tells Timothy that, you know what, in your lineage, you know, like you have people that had faith, your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. I'm persuaded that, you know, the same faith that was in them, it's in you also. Paul reminds him to say that your forefathers served God with a pure consciousness. So they've passed on a pure consciousness to the next generation, to your great-grand-grandmother, to your grandmother Lois, and to your mother Eunice. And then now he says that, I'm persuaded it's in you also. It's in you also. I'm persuaded it's in you also. There is a certain level of thinking that has been passed on to you by your family, by your mother, by your grandmother, by your generation. A certain pattern of thinking. So now Paul says that, you know, your forefathers, they served with a pure consciousness. They had, you know, he says that when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother and your mother Eunice. So now, if you are coming from a family that does not have a pure consciousness, that thinks evil, that does not think right, that does not communicate right, it means that you have work to change how you think. You have work to change that lineage. Most times what affects us, I know most of you know that, okay, in our family, no one gets married, no one, you know, men just come, impregnate us, they leave, and no man gets married. When they get a woman, something just frustrates that woman to leave. Now, you have the power to change that through the word of God, by knowing what the Lord has planned for your generation. Knowing what God has planned for you matters the most. It matters the most. The mind of God can change the narrative of your life. That's why he said to Abraham, get out of thy kindred and go to the place that I'll show you. Go to the place that I'll show you. Why is it that Abraham had to come? God had to change his thinking. He had even to change his mind. His name. He had to change his name. So now Paul, he is talking to Timothy, saying that, you know, there was genuine faith. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith which is in you. So now in your family, as much as, you know, nobody gets married, people get impregnated and all sorts of things, you need to dig in your family lineage and dig transgenerational blessing and say, before these cases came, what was there? There was a blessing which was there, because where every place where a curse is, there's a blessing. So now you need to understand what caused the curse. Where is the blessing? Now, when you understand where the blessing that was there, you call it to remember. Because Paul says that, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, then he tells him that, you know, stir up the gift of faith which is in the inside of you. Stir it up. So mean to say that, you know, it's just my revelation. I think that, you know, Timothy was battling with something. He was battling with faith. He didn't know that something
was in the inside of him. He didn't know that he was coming from a generation whereby, you know, they were giants of faith. So now Paul reminds him to say, of whatever problem that you are going through, that you might be facing, stir up the gift of faith which is in the inside of you. Stir it up by laying on of hands. For God, then he tells him that, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Child of God, today I want to tell you that you are a champion. God did not give you a spirit of fear. You don't need to fear. You know, some of you have fear of the unknown. What shall my future be? Am I going to get that job? I've been in this situation for so many years. I've been disappointed. Things have been so bad. I want to tell you this thing today, that God did not give you a spirit of fear. Fear is from the enemy. Fear is what the enemy feeds you with. Is what the devil tells you to say, you will not make it. You will not make it. Let me tell you this thing. You might be married to that man. You might be married to that woman. They might not be where they want to be. And you might be like, "Eish, did I marry someone wrong?" No, child of God, you did not marry someone wrong. You have the right person. But the enemy is giving you fear. He's giving you fear. So Paul says that, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So God has given you power. There is power in the inside of you. There is power in the inside of you. There is power in the inside of you. You don't need to be afraid of anything. How shall this thing be? How is my tomorrow? Jesus said that, you know, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow shall worry about itself. You don't need to worry about your tomorrow. Your tomorrow is safe. It's safe in the hands of God. Your tomorrow is safe in the hands of God. If you read NLT version, it says that, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Self-discipline, it's a spirit that you receive from the Lord. It's a spirit that you receive from the Lord. Now, the word power there that Paul, talks about. Let's look at that word power as we conclude, today's podcast. So, the word power there is the word dunamis. Is the word dunamis. So, the word dunamis means strength, power, and ability. So, the word dunamis, so this power, it's an inherent power. It's power that you receive. So, meaning to say, you, the moment you're born again, there is power that you received. It's power for performing miracles. So now, here Paul tells Timothy, he says like, hey, you have been given dunamis, power to perform miracles. So that miracle that you're looking for, you have power to perform it in the name of Jesus. You have power to perform it in the name of Jesus. So I pray that you are blessed. I pray that you are blessed. Our next episode, we're going to have a guest. Who's going to be speaking to us. So today, I pray for you that the Lord blesses you. The Lord helps you to navigate through your mind, to meditate the word of God. And the Lord helps you as well to study his word and to focus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Share with your family and friends. And thank you for walking this journey with us.